Thank you. For years, and probably for decades, we've been asked if we were children of God. Specifically, if we were born again Christians. And we were asked if we've taken care of all the prerequisites that make us born again Christians. Now, for the most part, we've hemmed and hawed, trying to find a suitable answer to the questions. But eventually, when we saw those people coming, we looked for ways to escape them. Answering those questions can present quite a dilemma for us. We hear it in the discussion groups. We hear it in the classroom. I mean, what do you say? How do you address these issues? Well, listen. John wrote, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God?" What a powerful statement. He didn't say we shall become sons of God if and when we do this, or we shall become sons of God if and when we do that. There were no caveats connected to the statement. It's straightforward. He said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." What a beautiful statement. It's all-inclusive. It does not discriminate. It does not separate, isolate, or divide us. It does not measure and compare levels of consciousness, levels of understanding, pitting one group against another. It's simple and to the point. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And if you don't believe that, we have another authority besides John. His name is Christ Jesus. When he was relating the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, he tells us about one particular son who used his substance to experience the vanities of the world. He experienced its pride, its arrogance, and sense of self-importance. And we do pretty much the same thing, especially in today's world. In fact, we think our lives are moving at warp speed because we are heirs to the technological revolution. So we think we have all these many platforms to work from. And we have all these many more things that we can do. But is it true? Are our lives really moving any faster? Are we really experiencing any more, accomplishing any more? No. But we're trying it anyway. What's actually happening is we're spreading our lives over a wider area. It seems like more on the surface because it has no depth. There is no depth to what to what we do. We live as if the more people we meet, the more places we visit, the more associations and organizations we participate and contribute to, the more we know. But it's not true. The truth is that if we were to probe the depth of any two or three of these experiences, we would realize that they're all pretty much the same. And we would not have so much repetition in our lives. And we would not have so many issues clamoring for our attention. Because if we were to take the time to probe the depths of any of these experiences, we would have more time for our own living. Because it's as if we are so immersed in other issues and other projects that we leave the welfare of our own being to others. And we blame them if things don't go right. And such was the plight of the prodigal son. He was so busy proving himself to the world. He was so busy listening to the oohs and the ahs of the world that when he had depleted his substance, he had to look to others to sustain him. The problem was not that he was a spendthrift. What he spent was not the issue. The problem was not that he didn't save something for a rainy day. The problem was that during the course of his living, while he was utilizing the substance that the Father had given him, he forgot to return to the source of that substance. He forgot to acknowledge the Father, to seek the kingdom of God. You see, he got so wrapped up in the world's reactions that he forgot to pay homage to the Father, to the source of all substance. But in spite of that, he was still the Son of God. The Father never disowned him. He never called him wretched. Listen to what the Father said once the Son remembered to turn within. He said, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." The Father always acknowledged him as the son. Whether he was alive or dead, lost or found, we are always the Son of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? So you may ask, what is the significance of being born again? What is the significance of that experience? What does being born again have to do with being sons of God? Change who you are, it changes the way you live. You see, we've been focused out here in the world, sensitive to the world's view of us. We've been trying to maintain our lives in such a way as to get good reviews from our family members, from our relatives, our co-workers, and associates. And as long as we're focused on what other people are thinking about us, as long as we're attempting to garner their favor, our kingdom is of this world. Christ Jesus told Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He didn't say, except a man be born again, he cannot be a son of God. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Where the substance is. The kingdom of God is the source of our supply, our health, our well-being. After the prodigal son spent all that he had and was living in the most deplorable conditions, he was still a son of God. He knew that he was still a son of God. So he turned his attention from the world. He turned his attention away from the plight that he was living in and turned within and remembered the Father. He remembered the infinite substance of the Father's house. He knew that he could return to the Father. You see, when we turn within, our focus is no longer out here in the world looking at things as they appear. When we turn within, our focus is on our hearts. What the heart feels. And the soul, what the soul knows, having nothing to do with the self here. Turning within is the new birth, it's the beginning of the inner life. It's the beginning of a new way of living. Turning within, we are privy to the many promises, the many mansions, the fatted calf, the banquet of infinite substance. All of that is set before us. God, seeing the kingdom of heaven is being aware that every promise given to us, we are heirs to. But we can't be heirs to those things while looking out here, because we see them, we don't see any substance of them, we don't see any signs of them. But when we turn them into our hearts, and so we know that they are true. No, we don't know how they're going to manifest. But because it's the presence of God, we know that it's going to be right. We know that it's going to be good. When we turn within, we're turning to consciousness. We're not seeking what they say. We're seeking what I feel and what I know to be true. We're changing our focus. We speak so often of the presence of God within, the presence of God within. The most important question is, when the presence of God is within, are you present? When that presence is within you, are you present? Are you present in the Father's presence? As we live and move and have our being in the Father, we become heirs to the kingdom of heaven, all that the Father has is thine. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we are children of God, joint heirs with the Christ, always the Son of God. Inside us. Let us now prepare for the closing meditation. Let us be comfortable as sons of God, needing nothing, yet knowing that all that we need, all that we desire, is within us. As truth, as life, as clarity of direction and understanding. Not one of us here lacks anything except focus. To be present in God's presence. To be acceptance of His love. To be expecting the glory of His substance. We today are the sons of God, needing to accept nothing less expecting everything. Father, for this realization, those clarity, we thank Thee. And so it is. Amen. The Lord bless Thee and keep Thee. The Lord make His face shine upon Thee and be gracious unto Thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. before.